In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ is risen. So I was at our diocese clergy retreat this past week. And at the first meal Monday evening, I'm sitting at a round table for eight in a crowded cafeteria. I'm sure you can picture the setting. You've probably all been in a situation like that. And a discussion starts among the priests at my table. What's the biggest spiritual problem in our society? Now, the discussion wasn't about politics or the economy or in the environment or crime or anything like that. The discussion was, what's the biggest underlying spiritual cause for everything else? What's the spiritual foundation for these issues? Seven of the priests at our table of eight came to the conclusion that self-worship is our biggest problem. We have ceased worshiping God and started worshiping ourselves. It was about how each person sees themselves as somehow above others. One priest was silent for most of it, but he finally couldn't take it anymore. And when he spoke up, he said that in his experience, the problem in our society is not self-worship, but the very opposite, self-loathing. People don't think too highly of themselves, but too lowly. Our problem is that we do not value ourselves the way God does. We don't see ourselves the open-hearted way that God sees us. We don't realize how lovable and how valuable we are. This priest said that if we could cure humanity of self-loathing, the rest of our spiritual ailments would fade away, or at the very least, shrink. If we could just see for a moment how loved we are. All other concerns would be tiny by comparison if we knew how much God loved us. Interestingly, this very next Sunday, today, we hear the story of Fotini, the Samaritan woman. When Jesus finds her at the well, we learn a lot about her very quickly. First, she's alone. She obviously has no one to go to the well with, no friends that were willing to accompany her. Next, she wonders why Jesus is even talking to her in the first place. Her immediate response is, "Why are you talking to me? I'm a Samaritan and a woman. Neither are exactly esteemed by you. I'm a little surprised you're even taking the time to talk to the likes of me." And then not only is she the wrong race, the wrong sex, and friendless, she finds out, probably to her dismay, that Jesus knows all about her background. She's been married and divorced five times. And now she's living with a man she's not even married to. And when Jesus drops this knowledge on her, she probably wanted to just fade into the ground. Now, I'm not saying she never had a prideful moment in her life, but overall, by far, Fotini's problem is not self-worship, but self-loathing. Her problem was not that she thought too highly of herself, but too lowly. Until meeting Jesus, she did not, and she could not see her own value. But Jesus does. Jesus sees who Fotini really is. Jesus created her, and he knows what unspeakable value she holds within herself. And Jesus selects Fotini of all the people of Sychar to evangelize her entire city. She was the chosen. She was the one Jesus chose. And did you notice the change that comes over her when she realizes that Jesus values her? When it starts to sink in that she is both lovable and wanted by God. I mean, she changes from skulking to the well alone to running through the village, talking to everyone she possibly can. That's quite a change. When she realizes her value, she can feel purpose again. You might even say she feels human again. When Fotini knows she is loved, she can love. So right after that meal with the eight priests at a table, with a lively discussion about whether self-worship or self-loathing is our culture's underlying spiritual problem, we all go into the conference room to hear our speaker's first presentation. Now, our speaker's name is Father Paul Abernathy, and he's the priest of a young parish which has a mission outreach in a very poor neighborhood in Pittsburgh. They rent space in this very old cornered storefront. And Father Paul began the entire retreat with this story. About a year after the church opened, they got a laptop computer. They could finally afford one as a poor new parish in a poor old neighborhood. 2 weeks later, the church is broken into, and of course, the laptop is stolen. Everyone is upset. It's not just the value of the computer, it's the violation. Who wouldn't feel that? It's the feeling here we're trying to do good, and this is the thanks we get. About a week after the break-in, the priest and the volunteer staff just happened to be at the church late one afternoon. They had gathered there to get ready to leave for a birthday dinner for one of the women on the staff. It was her birthday that day. It was just an odd quirk that they happened to be there at that time. They were just there for a few minutes as a meeting place before heading to a pizza party for this woman's birthday. But it happened to be in those few minutes, a neighborhood watch representative wrestles a teenage boy through the door with a laptop under his arm. It was their thief with their computer. The neighborhood watch person, a formidable woman, according to Father Paul, says, "Here's your computer. Do you want me to call the police?" And there's a moment of awkward silence. And then the church member whose birthday it was, she speaks up. She says, "Let's give him a choice. We can call the police, or," and she looks at him and says, "You, young man, can come to the pizza party with us." Now, I'm telling you, Jesus came back as a woman that time. Of course, this teenage boy chooses pizza. But what was he really choosing? What was he really choosing? Pepperoni? Or the opportunity to be and feel loved in a tangible way, probably for the first time in years. Probably for the first time ever. Who knows? That was what he was choosing. Now, this was a few years ago. Today, this now young man is one of the directors of their mission outreach. And then Father Paul concluded his story with this line. He said, "The biggest problem we face in our work is self-loathing, is how few people know just how loved they are." And I'm like, yes, that's it. Just like Fotini, this boy's problem was not self-worship, but self-loathing. And that's why when we don't know we're loved, we act out. We try to find substitutes for love. We make poor choices, or we lash out and we attack, or we do all of the above. That's why this particular boy was breaking and entering. And that's why Fotini was going through life friendless with an unending string of husbands. Until she met Jesus, and Jesus let her know not only how loved she is, but how loved she'd always been. She's not loved because she's going to go evangelize a town. She's loved for who she is and who she always was. When Jesus convinces her of this, it's like her humanity is finally restored in her own eyes. Now, the Apostle John, who wrote this gospel about Fotini, also told us God is love. And therefore, to know you are loved is to know God. To know you are loved is to be truly human. Amen.